The 2011 Ann Arbor Ypsilanti Reads book, Life is So Good, is the story of George Dawson, a man who learned to read at age 98. His story of becoming literate at a late age is truly inspirational. So we wanted to know what the local experience has been of Washtenaw County's learners. So this Ann Arbor Ypsilanti Reads event is Literacy Learners Share Their Stories. It's co-sponsored by the Literacy Coalition of Washtenaw County. And to get us started, I'd like to introduce Vanessa Majewski from the Literacy Coalition.
Thanks. Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad you could come out tonight. I'm really excited to hear from our learners, our students, our volunteers tonight. Before we get to our panel, though, I'd like to just introduce the Literacy Coalition of Washtenaw County. What we are is we're an organization that represents about 30 different groups that are working on literacy in our community across the lifespan. And so we're here, we're going to hear from folks from three different of our member organizations, from Family Learning Institute, from Young People's Project, and from Washtenaw Literacy. And I will say, give one pitch, and that's that all three of these organizations and many of our organizations really rely on volunteers to keep their programs running. And so I've set out some bookmarks out back. If you'd like to get volunteer information, you can visit the Literacy Coalition website. It's lcwconline.org. And there you can get connected to volunteer opportunities with youth, with adults, and also with the behind-the-scenes work that keeps all the programs running. So you're not here to hear me, though. And so I'd like to ask our panelists to introduce yourselves and if you could say which program you're with. Thanks. Let's start with Natalie because you're on my left.
All right. My name's Natalie Erb, and I am a college math literacy worker with the Young People's Project.
Hello, my name is Abdi Wasid. I go to Family Learning Institute.
My name is Enid Sutherland, and I'm a coach with the Family Learning Institute. In fact, I'm this guy's coach.
My name is Tari. I'm joined Washtenaw Literacy Library for English Learning. So I'm in the country also. So I'm glad to meet you all.
Hi, my name is O'Shea. Some people call me Norman. I'm with Washtenaw Literacy.
Great, thanks. And I was wondering if, to get us started, I'm not sure if everyone here is familiar with all the different programs, if you could talk a little bit more about what it is that either you're tutoring or you're learning in that program. Talk a little bit more about it. This time, let's start with O'Shea.
Okay, thank you. I came to Washtenaw back in the mid-'80s. You know, I was driving my car and this radio station came on and says, it's never too late to learn. And I believed it. You know, I never believed it before, but just that day meant something different. And I gave Washtenaw Literacy a call, and it really started to change my life at that point. There goes my tutor back in the 80s, Nadine. So I've been with Washtenaw Literacy for a while. I think I met with Nadine about 3 years. But then I went to work for a literacy program in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, called the Read Campaign. So I have actually been actively involved in literacy for a while. In Florida, I had a chance to do a little tutoring, too. So I got to see both sides of it. So Washtenaw Literacy actually opened up many doors for me.
Could you talk more about what you do at Washtenaw Literacy?
Well,
what their tutoring program's like?
Yeah, well, I'm in college right now, so I went back to Washtenaw Literacy to get a tutor to help me with some of my schoolwork. So, of course, you know, I go in, you have to do the evaluation. I did that, and about a couple of weeks later, they called me and I got a tutor. This time it's a little different than what it was when I first came here, because it's really about my schoolwork now, just trying to compete with the kids. And my tutor is, so we're really focusing on, like, my writing skills and how to use the periods and question marks when you're supposed to, because all that stuff, I never learned that in high school. So I'm trying to pick it up now in my 40s. So it's been a road.
Thanks.
Yep.
Actually, I moved recently to the country. I've been in Jordan. I work with an international company. It's a French company. We do project IT project over the seas for different kind of sectors. Actually, then I get I'm one of the lucky persons that I get a lottery to move to United States. I get a green card by the lottery. So I moved recently here. I'm looking for a job. So I joined the classes, the library, in order to improve my English language because my English is not very good. We don't choose to use the English in our country. So when I move here, I try to improve my skills. So I joined the classes. It has been very wonderful classes. I met a lot of people here, very kindness people, helpful. Then I joined the TOEFL classes. I'm planning now to apply. I go to Eastern University. I apply to continue my master's degree in business. So I go to the university. They asked me to do the TOEFL exam in order to join the class because my high school and my bachelor's degree, my grades is becoming fine. So I'm trying to improve or to learn more in order to catch the to improve myself in order to enter university to continue my master's degree. So that's what I am doing now. Learning.
Well, I am a musician by trade, and I have an adjunct position at the University of Michigan, but I have a little extra time, and for quite some time I've been thinking that I wanted to do some volunteer work, and what I really wanted to do was find some way to work in the literacy field, but I had no knowledge of any of these programs that exist in Ann Arbor, and so I didn't know where to turn. I went to visit a teacher who teaches in the public schools, who's a neighbor of mine, to see if she could help me figure out what I could do. And she immediately steered me to the Family Learning Institute. And I have since discovered what a wonderful organization it is. Right? Yes.
Yes.
And I've been there this is my second year. And it's my second year working with this guy, who's my partner, and I'm very proud of him. He's worked very hard. The Family Learning Institute takes students from, I believe, starting the second grade through fifth. And the idea is that the students work one-on-one with a coach. It's frustrating because we only get to see the students for an hour a week, and we would love to see them longer and more. But we do the best we can. We get some good work done, don't we, in an hour?
Yes.
Right. And the Family Learning Institute also has a math program, and I'm not exactly sure how that works. I guess it's the same thing, right? I'm looking at Amy Rolfs here, who's the head of the whole thing, and she's just wonderful at what she does. And I'm extremely impressed with this organization. The people there who run it, Amy and Joellen Mogelgaard, they know what they're doing in this field, and they help you. They help the coaches know how we need to function to help the students as best we can, and we have a good time.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's your turn.
So what do you do when you go to a Family Learning Institute?
Yeah.
Well, I stay with my coach for an hour, and after that we go to the writing table, and we write our prompt down, and then after that we share it. So, yeah.
So you do a writing exercise?
Yes.
Around a prompt sentence, and then you share it with the other students there?
Yes.
Then what happens?
After that, we do a brain box. We do a brain box.
A brain box. That sounds really cool.
It's a square, and then you write your main topic from the prompt, and then you write it down on that box, and then you write who, what, where, why, and when, and sometimes how. And then after that, you show 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines on the brain box.
Right. And is the brain box the end of the day at Family Learning Institute, or do you do more?
We do sloppy copy.
What is sloppy copy?
When we write the brain box, we turn that into a sloppy copy. So, yeah.
Why is it called sloppy copy?
Just a fun thing.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Great.
Next.
All right, so I'm with the Young People's Project, and the Young People's Project is probably the outlier here. We are focused on math literacy, so our program functions around a curriculum of math games, and then we also like to incorporate a lot of different kinds of social justice activities, so that might seem like a kind of odd mix. I'll give you a little history, I guess. The Young People's Project grew out of Dr. Bob Moses's work in the 1960s in the civil rights movement. He worked as a field secretary for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and registered African-American voters in the South. And then he grew up, went to Harvard and had children, and he started the Algebra Project, which is a program in schools to help improve algebra skills. And his children, actually, who were working with him, created the Young People's Project, which was kind of the after-school component of this algebra project. So the Young People's Project grew to be an extension of these maths and algebra skills, but also took on another component of community organizing and working for social justice in their communities and other issues. So our curriculum is based on this module of math games, and we train college math literacy workers. So we have college students from U of M, EMU, and Washtenaw Community College who work in six high schools in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, and they train about 10 math literacy workers who are the high school students, and then those high school students facilitate these games to middle school students. So it's this long pipeline of peer-to-peer learning. So it's a really wonderful program. I have worked at two different schools, at Lincoln High School in Ypsilanti, and now I'm at Huron High School. And at both programs, we've gotten all the way down to the middle schools. So that's a little background on that.
So what happens when you go in to the high school?
What's a day like?
What do you
like?
Do?
So we, the college math literacy workers, learn the whole math module, so what we teach for the semester, in about a week. And then we spend 2 days a week, 2 hours in the high school teaching that to the high school students. So a typical day, we'll maybe go in and do a little name game or icebreaker. Then we'll spend about an hour or so on the math material. So a lot of it is just playing these games that are designed to teach the concepts. So it's kind of like tricking them into learning math. And then we'll have a discussion on some kind of social justice topics. So sometimes we pull articles from the news, maybe, I don't know of a good example, maybe something about the DREAM Act recently, and have a discussion about that and how that applies in their schools. Or we have a lot of different activities from the intergroup relations group on the University of Michigan campus, which does a lot of kind of identity and social justice little games and stuff. So it's kind of a good mix. And then we'll just do a wrap-up debrief. And so it's a good mix of the math and the also other topics and leadership development as well.
I'm wondering, I mean, you all had different motivations for joining your different programs. I'm wondering what keeps you motivated. What keeps you going as you continue learning or as you continue teaching? And I'll start with whoever wants to go first.
It's fun. It's a delight to work with a student like this guy right here. And you just want to get in there help him get better and better and better at his reading, and I think he's got something to say.
Yes, indeed.
It is fun working with my coach, Enid, and we... That's all I got.
We have fun together, right?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I know one of the things that keep me motivated to keep moving forward is the fact that I can still remember very clearly getting things in the mail and not being able to read them and always having to take it over to my sister's house or some family member to read stuff for me. And I also remember when I was able to read my mail and just the expression on my face when I was able to read it, it was priceless. And that really keeps me motivated that this is possible. You know, it was a time when I thought learning was not possible for me because of my dyslexia. And now that I know it's possible, it keeps motivating me to keep wanting to improve and get better and better and better.
For me, it's a challenge.
In a moment.
For me, it's a challenge. Challenge to get a job first, a challenge to continue my higher education second. So I joined the course to apply for the TOEFL, so there are TOEFL classes there. And to get a job, I have to be improved to know more about the culture, the environment, the market also as well. So it's a challenge for me.
What keeps me involved? Well, I think working with the high school students and then the middle school students as well, just seeing them grow and seeing that YPP is a program that is unlike anything else that is offered in their schools. And these schools have countless amazing programs, but YPP really offers something different that a lot of students really cling on to, and it really makes a big difference in their lives. So it's been wonderful getting to know them as a mentor and a friend and a teacher and learning from them as well. So.
Now, I know I have some more questions, but we had someone in the audience with a question. I think Katie's going to come around because we do have an audience that isn't even here. We have an online audience that will see it later. So.
I was just going to ask the gentleman who learned to read as an adult. I don't know anything about adults learning to read, but like, what's it like being an adult learning to read versus a child? Does it go faster or is it harder, or like how is it?
Well, it's really hard for me to answer that question, but for me, it was real hard. I could tell you honestly, in high school, I didn't have the mindset to do what I had to do when I got older. You know, the focus that I needed to put into my learning was at a very high level because I wanted it that bad. When I was in high school, in junior high, they just, you know, it was that energy wasn't there for me. And so it was, it's hard for me to say it because I didn't learn when I was young. But I would think it would be easier for a child than to catch it later. It was tough. It was a long road and a lot of perseverance. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, we've got another question. Did that answer your question? Okay, great. Yeah, we may as well incorporate questions now as you have them, and then we can...
Real quick, what was your occupation before you had trouble reading and with other literacy?
Well, I actually was a supervisor at a computer company, and I had 28 people working under me. And what actually motivated me to even call Washington Literacy was my boss asked me to read something out loud in front of him. And you can imagine the fear. The paper was blurry. I couldn't see anything. And the phone rang. And he had to leave. So I was saved by the bell. But that day, I just wanted to change my situation. I didn't want to be in that. I was living in fear my whole life. I was hiding my whole life. People take reading for granted. You know, because you just read. But living life without that, without having that skill, imagine, you know, going somewhere and you don't know where to exit to get off, You know, you get off the wrong exit, then trying to find your way back, and you can't read signs. I mean, it could be daunting out there. But yeah, I was very. You could say I was successful before I improved on my reading.
Got another question in the back here.
Well, I want to ask you a question. You said you were a supervisor, so that means that you was intelligent already. So how could you escape the fact that you had parents, you had siblings that can read? How did you escape that? They didn't teach your siblings, didn't try to help you out?
Well,
because that's one problem about reading. It's like one person learn how to read, teaches the other person before they go to school.
Right.
But if you don't have the parents to give you that incentive, then something wrong. You fell through that gap, you know, because I hear a lot of people saying that reading and all. I've experienced the fact that if somebody can read in your family, and if they're a little above you or somebody, I don't care who it is, they can teach you how to read, you know, because they're on your level. But if anybody that has a family and somebody is reading, that's neglect, you know, for us. I don't know how that happened, but that happened somewhat.
Well, let's hear from Moshe then, see how that played out.
Well, my... I came from a family where there was no books in my house. When I grew up, my mother was, she couldn't read that well neither. And my father, I don't know if he could or not because he was working all the time. So there was never, let's go to the library type of growing up or let's read a book. It was always here, watch TV, you know. And I don't blame my mother because she grew up that way too. Her mother did the same thing. So it was a generational thing going on at my house where reading just wasn't that important. You know, nobody never talked about going to college when I was growing up. Just if you can graduate, that's good enough.
You went to first grade?
Yes.
Who was your teacher? I mean, the teacher didn't instill that in you? How did that happen? You know, I mean...
Well, I could tell you, when I was young, like a little kid, they didn't know a lot about dyslexia. You have to understand that I was dealing with a learning disability, which is different from somebody who's just not being able to, like just reading a book to a child and they picking it up and they learning. I had something actually blocking me from grasping at a young age like that. No, you couldn't whip this.
Can you guys hear me all right? Or? Okay, sorry. Well, I just want to speak to that whole thing about upbringing a little bit. I raised a dyslexic son, and we read and everything. He wasn't actually identified as dyslexic till the second grade. So, and he went through the whole Ann Arbor system and was pronounced okay. And really never learned until he really taught himself to read.
Yeah.
And he dropped out of community high. He's doing fine. He's 35 this year. He reads. I mean, it's a great joy to me to have us discuss books and so forth now. But I think part of it, there's no one set formula for, I mean, I grew up with a lot of reading. I read almost every day of my life. My parents read out loud to each other. I read out loud to them. I read out loud to other adults. I am here tonight because I've always kind of wanted to teach somebody else to read because it's meant so much to me. And as far as the, you know, learning disabilities, we did everything that the Ann Arbor system told us to do, and I have no, I don't think any of us failed him. I just think everyone has a time in life when they come to different parts of their own development. And yes, it's important to offer the right environment, but for instance, I just graduated at 58, the oldest in my class in nursing school, and I'm loving nursing. So there's no, I don't think there's any particular pattern for how everyone should develop. And I'm not sure exactly where my son learned to read, but one day he was just devouring books. So life is a big palette, and I think that it's important to keep an open mind about how people develop themselves. He's certainly a bright person. You're obviously a bright person. The first time I realized that not everyone reads, I was at Emory University in the late 60s, and my boyfriend, who later became my husband of 27 years, was working on the grounds crew for the summer. And he said, well, I have to go get so-and-so a Coke from the machine. And I said, well, can't he go get that? You know, I wanted him to go spend time with me. And he said, well, actually, he can't read the Coke machine. You know, he can't tell where to put, I mean, he knows where to put the money in, but he can't tell how to make the selections. And that was 40 years ago. So the way the media is now, and you know, it's not one phone black on the wall or on the desk anymore. Life is complicated. And I just think it's really, I was pretty shocked, you know, that what a difficulty that would be to not have rudimentary ability to handle rudimentary instructions, how frustrating that would be.
Thanks so much for that story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was great to hear. We have another question here, though.
Like, how is the literacy hard for you to learn?
Are you asking everyone that question or one person in particular?
One.
Which one? O'Shea? Who's been talking?
Never mind. Can I mess up?
What's that?
Can I talk about my brother this time?
Talk about your brother. Go ahead.
Like
your brother, the panelist, right?
Yeah. It's like my brother is so nice to me. He always offers things to me, and I just appreciate it. And I just love how he breaks a leg when he's reading and. It's just really nice to learn that information.
Thanks for sharing that.
Really nice of you, brother.
I'll get to your question in just one moment, if you could hold him for a second, because I'm wondering from some of the other panelists, some of your stories that you might want to share about either things that you've, you know, seen happen because of the tutoring, or that you've noticed in yourself change. I'm here. We've heard a lot from O'Shea, and I love your stories, O'Shea. I'm just interested in hearing some of the other stories to share. Go right ahead.
Well, last year when I started the Family Learning Institute program, when I always went to the writing table, I had a messy writing. Then after that year, I improved last year. Then my mom signed me up this year, and I got much better.
That's great. And as his reading coach, what sort of changes have you seen?
Well, Abdi wants me to tell you how we've been working on his reading with expression. And man, is he good at it. Yeah, because I realized that, you know, if you don't stop at the periods, right, and if you don't make the quotation sound like someone's talking, you're not really understanding what you're reading. So we've been doing a lot of work on that, and he's gotten quite good at it. He's sometimes very dramatic, actually, as you might be able to imagine that he could be.
I would never guess that.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have guessed that. Another thing that happened this year, which I was... It was a little bit by accident, I suppose. I discovered what Abdi really likes to read, especially likes to read, and that is biography. You remember what biography is? You probably forgot. It's reading about people, right?
Yeah.
And so
nonfiction.
We spent, well, it's nonfiction, yes, but it's reading specifically about individual people. And who are some of the people we've read about this year?
Houdini. Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman, yes. Who's the president of the United States?
Obama.
Mm-hmm. Who is Luther King?
We read about Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
And the last book we read was...
Well, the last one we read was about was about Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
Oh, but you read another one to me about Michael Jordan when he was a young boy.
Can you
tell them about that story? I've never heard this before. It was very interesting. What did his mother do?
When Michael Jordan, one time when he was asleep, his mother told him to do his prayers before he goes to sleep. After that, when he went to sleep, his mother got a bucket of salt. Salt, and she put it on his shoes. And then the next morning, he said, "Mommy, I'm growing.
Because he wasn't very tall, evidently, when he was a young kid.
Can I tell them what happened?
Yeah.
This basketball boy kept teasing him because he was really short.
And so then his mother told him...
If you put salt in your shoes, it'll make you grow, maybe. Yeah. Then after those years, he started putting salt on his hands and salt on his shoes.
Yeah, and he did grow.
He's about like six something something.
I know, he really did grow.
No, seven something.
Anyway, we've had a wonderful time. The whole first part of this year, we've been reading biography. We've been reading about people.
Real stuff.
And Abdi just walks in the room. He doesn't even take his coat off. He just starts. He picks one of the books that I bring from the public library.
And then I take off my coat.
Which has a wonderful collection of biography here. And then finally he takes off his coat. But he usually just starts right in and reads. And reads and reads and reads. And that's what we're there for.
I enjoy to read.
Yeah. So my point is just... It's kind of obvious, and it took me a while to realize that it helps a person to learn to read if they're reading something that interests them. I mean, I personally don't do very well at reading if I'm reading something that I'm not particularly interested in. So why wouldn't that be true of the students as well? So anyway, we've had a good time doing that. And he's made great progress.
Really great progress.
Yes, really great progress. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
Are you bilingual?
One moment. Sorry, we've got to let the internet audience in on your question.
Are you bilingual? Can you speak another language? And does that help you learn English?
Yes, I do speak another language.
What is it? What language do you speak?
Somalian.
Do you think that helps you in your work at Family Learning Institute or in your reading in English?
Mm-hmm.
Do you speak a lot of Somalian at home?
No.
I didn't think so.
I speak English and Somalian now.
Yeah. Abdi's parents are from Somalia, right? But Abdi was born in Windsor, correct? Yes. And I believe... that basically your children speak English at home, right?
One moment. Thanks.
He speaks English, but he understands my language 100%. But he doesn't want to speak back my language. Whenever I ask something in my language, he answers back English.
In English. Yes. But he understands you.
Yes, yeah. Very well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he say some sentences in my language.
Oh.
Because I try to ignore when sometimes he asks me something in English. Because
uh-huh.
I want my children to learn how to speak my language. And then he suddenly say something in my
yeah.
language. Then I say, that's good. That's what I need to hear from you.
I know we have a couple of questions I want to hear from a couple more of our panelists before we get to you. Can you tell us about the English group, how that's going, if you're noticing learning anything, or maybe you're too new to the group? I'm not sure how long you've been involved.
Are you talking to me or to...
I'm sorry, I'm speaking. I'm talking to one guy. Over, sorry.
I couldn't tell where your eyes were.
I do fine with my English group. Actually, I came to the United States since 5 months ago, so I'm still new in the country also. I come with a broken language, English language, actually, so I can't speak English. So I'm suffering when I go to the shopping from the grocery. I don't know the name of the things, actually. I know a little bit of the thing, how to... I know that it's water, but I don't know the names of the fruits, the vegetables, some kind of, a lot of things in the grocery. So I don't know how to, when I want to put a fuel in my car, so I'm suffering to tell her how the price is, how things going. It's, when I joined the classes, when I joined my group, I learned a lot of things, even how a lot of words, how to speak, how to know the things. You know, I still suffer from my language, but I'm improving. I try to catch them. I know a lot of things now. I can communicate with others. I can speak. I can ask. I can get the answers. I understand the people around me. When I go to rent my apartment, I suffer when I want to read the contracts. So I don't know the details of that contract. So the landlord helped me to understand the content.
You were able to bring your rent contract to the group? Is that what you're saying, what you learned then helped you when you were looking at the rent?
Why I'm learning that helped me to understand what's going around me.
That's great.
I'm improving. Now I understand a lot of things. I can speak and can communicate. This is the important thing for me right now. When I joined recently the TOEFL classes and the group, another group in the library, so... I would like to continue to apply for a TOEFL in order to join university as well. So I'm trying to improve. I try to be more, just to me, to strengthen my language. That's the point. So my son now speaks three languages. He's come with me since 5 months. He speaks now English better than me because he's going to school. And he learned also Spanish there, so he speaks English, Spanish. He has been speaking French in our country. He speaks Arabic and French. So now I think he speaks four languages. So it's better than me. I try to catch him, actually. I try to do it like my son is doing.
Thanks. How about any stories from Young People's Project?
I think that, so math literacy, a lot of times people don't really know what is math literacy, and we all kind of have a different answer for what math literacy is, depending on what our experiences with the program. I think one of the most important things that we want our students to get out of this is, first of all, overcoming that fear of math, that math is a scary thing, that it's your least favorite class. Do you like math?
50-50.
50-50, yeah. So that it's not intimidating and that it is something that you use every day when you're buying groceries or, do you do math? You're looking at me funny. Maybe not.
Yes.
But, and I think, too, I guess a personal story. I always hated word problems when I was in high school. There was always two or three word problems at the end of the chapter, and I never did them because I didn't really understand how you're supposed to turn words into numbers. And I think that is really the big connection between reading traditional literacy, reading, and math and bridging that gap really helps students understand how these weird equations are applicable in real life situations. So, yeah.
Thanks. Now, I know we had a question up here. And you, well, we have one here, and then we'll get to you guys, and then I think we had another in the back, too.
For the math program, a couple of questions. One, how are learners assigned to your groups?
So our high school students are, we kind of recruit school-wide. So anyone can join, students who are good at math or if they're not good at math. And then the middle school students we work at, we're targeting kind of the lowest quartile. But again, we don't turn anyone down. So we have students that are very good and love math, and students who are struggling as well. So.
And what kind of games do you use? For example, would you use the game Battleship as a precursor to certain, I guess, trig or pre-calc?
Yeah, that's the curriculum we're doing right now is called Road Coloring, and we actually used Battleship as one of our games. So, yeah, we've done things like that. We've modified kind of existing games. We've come up with games ourselves. And then the modules that we used are a whole series of other games as well. So, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Put these folks here.
The other thing I want to tell the audience is tonight, I am one of the parents for the second language, but I don't speak English. I speak Somali, but I understand. I have children grow and born in Canada and here. But before my children go to school, I didn't know how to help, how to read, how to write. But until my children, I took this organization to see what the coaches are doing with the kids. Then I tried myself to copy them or to try to do what they do. Then I get idea how I help my children. And I really love it, and I thanks for this program, FLI.
Thanks. Did you have a question? We can come back to you while you think. The gentleman in the back, did you have one? And I see you folks over here, too. Did you have your hand up earlier, sir?
One of my experiences I wanted to interact is, like, it's not a learning experience, it's a blockage. And anybody can have a blockage. I mean, I can pick up something and I can read and do the math, but some parts of that problem, I have a blockage, and I have to go to somebody and say, how do you do this? You know, and they show you. And once you look at the way they do it, then it goes away. So we all have a blockage. They call it something like, they give a different name, but sometimes your brain is not ready to accept that part of the problem. So you have to have somebody who has doesn't have that problem in their curriculum, and they can explain it to you to get past that little block. And you can read, but if you run into a problem that you are not used to, your brain haven't developed a pronunciation for, ready to deal with it, you're not going to get that right there.
Thanks. We've definitely heard that echoed a few times tonight. Got some folks over here, and I know Amy had something too.
I have a question for Natalie. So you help the high school students out with basic math skills of middle school subjects, or is it just high school subjects in total?
Yes. Yeah, so the curriculum that we use that helps high school students and middle school students, so they use the same curriculum, and it's not necessarily based on what you would be doing in class. So it's not what you'd be learning in your algebra class or your geometry class, but it's kind of more, it's like basic algebra concepts all kind of tied in, so it helps you with all the things that we do in these games at YPP will kind of pop up in your classes. So you might not learn how to graph a parabola, but you'll learn things. You'll through the games that you do, you'll develop the skills that when you do have to go graph a parabola, it'll make more sense, if that makes sense. So there are things that middle school students can benefit from, high school students can benefit from, college students can benefit from. I know I really improved my GRE score, which is like the college SAT, just from doing this YPP stuff, which is the same games that the middle school students do. So, yeah. Well, you're not in middle school.
I have a statement to say, like, say you like learning English for like a second language and your kids are born here or they're raised here and they know English, they could help you, like, speaking from experience, like, my mother, when she's trying to learn some new stuff from English, I help her sometimes to get it. So, if you have any kids who can help you learn English, you just know anybody in general, you can't just go to them.
I think there's response from our panelists on that, at least.
Well, I hear various members of this lovely family speaking here tonight, the family of this young gentleman, and I just want to pay tribute to their mother. There are five children in this family, and she does everything a parent could do to make sure that they all are doing their very best at everything, and she represents all the parents, I think, that are involved in our program and probably other programs as well, that the parents are so involved and so helpful and concerned about their children, and that is just so incredibly important to the success of our program and to our children's futures.
Thanks. All right, Amy.
Well, in regards to Family Learning Institute, another one of the real keys to success is the one-on-one that we have. So Enid is Abdi Basid's one and only coach. And so when the commenter before was talking about a blockage, you know, I just can't get this concept. For our students, they have their coach behind, you know, it one-on-one in their own room where they can ask any question, where if they were in a classroom, they would possibly be made fun of, they would reveal that they didn't know. So this one-on-one relationship makes all the difference in the world. Just like the other commenter said, you just need one person that you can really rely on to go to. And the other comment would be that Abdi Basid is also in our math program, just like YPP has the high school, the college, high school, and middle school. Our math program is for second to fifth graders, so we're hoping that the earlier intervention will prove to be the best thing for the student to catch up automatically. So Abdi Basid has got two things going. He's got our math and our reading going. So
two.
You're a busy person. So I'm wondering from our panelists if there's anything else that you want to share with our audience here tonight, or if you have any words of encouragement, if anyone would like to get involved as a volunteer or as a student, we'd love to hear that. So why don't we go right down the line here?
Well, I guess I can ask you guys. You look like are you in high school? You too?
Yeah.
Okay, where do you go to school? Skyline. Okay. So I'm working at Huron this semester, and the rest of our schools are in Ypsilanti. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be in the rest of the Ann Arbor Public Schools starting next year. So you can look out for YPP at Skyline. We're kind of expanding now, so hopefully we have a few community events each year. So if you're interested in getting on our email list and learning more, you can definitely talk to me after. Or if you want to come observe YPP in the classroom, we'd love to have you. I guess that's all I have to say.
Thanks. Any last words? No pressure.
Family Learning Institute is a great thing for me and my two siblings.
Thanks.
Well, I think all I could say is that I would suppose that the Family Learning Institute is always happy to welcome more coaches, right? And
yes.
Hopefully there'll always be plenty of students that need our help. And so if any of you or you know other people who would like to do this, I can recommend it very highly as a very satisfying thing to be spending your time on.
Actually, I found a very great thing in the United States that they do a lot of volunteer jobs here. It's a very wonderful thing. We didn't find it in our country, actually. So I would like to do a volunteer in the future. So it's my last one.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'd like to say if there's anybody who'd like to tutor adult, we need help. It changed my life. I still have to pinch myself when I'm in college. It would have never happened if it wasn't for the Washington Literacy Program. My life just would have went a totally different direction. And since that, I've been volunteering ever since. So I give up my time freely because someone gave something to me. That's all I have.
Thanks. Are there any more questions from the audience? No? Okay.
Hafsa.
Looks like maybe.
So, I'm so sorry. I forgot your name.
O'Shea.
Okay. So, as a teenager growing up with dyslexia, how did you face, like, you know, driving and taking buses and, you know, just read, like, not being able to read items? How did you deal with that?
It was tough, but it's really weird because if anyone in here loses their right arm, they will learn how to use their left. And that's the same thing I did. I can't really explain how I got around, but I got around. I mean, I drove from Michigan to Florida by myself. So I can't really explain to people how I did that, but I had a confidence that I'll make it, so, and I made it. So it's like going to a foreign country, and you can't read the menu to eat or but you will adapt to that environment. You know, that's what I did. I adapted. And I think we all have that capability in us to adapt to situations. So that's hard to actually answer because I can't tell you exactly how I did it.
If you went to Florida from Michigan, that means that you knew how to read a little bit. You had to have something. You wasn't just totally couldn't read.
I had a map. Plus, you know, 75 takes you all the way to Florida. Once I get on 75, my fear was getting off 75, then what I do, you know. So that fear was always there, and I have to really pay attention that I don't go off, because I could go off and not really know. Yeah. But it's fear behind when I do it because I can't read my way back, you know. Yeah, I got my license. I got a very good sense of direction too. So, very good sense of direction.
Well, you got your license. That's the one big step to get your license. When you passed that license, you had some basic reading skill.
Somebody read the test to me.
Somebody read it to you? I didn't know they let you do that.
Yeah, but I knew how to answer the questions, though.
I know you're very intelligent. I ain't saying that's why I said that I can pick up on where you're coming from. Yeah.
Looks like we've got another question up front here.
Hafsa.
So, I'm just trying to as like, what is dyslexia? Like, what type? Is it just like, I understand it's like a mental problem. Like, you just can't interpret like certain letters and numbers. But just, I like to hear it from like a dyslexic person.
Well, there's many different forms of dyslexia. Some people letters change around. a B turn into a D. Some people, the letters fall off the paper. Some people need certain colors over the words so they can all make sense. But I think my dyslexia is when I see a word, I see the beginning, I can see the end, but everything in the middle, for whatever reason, just doesn't make sense to me. Like, this just doesn't make sense to me. You could pick out those different sounds and everything, but my brain sees something different.
So we've got a follow-up, and then we've got another question over here.
Oh, I just don't see the same thing you see.
So if I were to write a word on a wall, you just see the beginning and end?
Right. Well, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah. So do you take medication for it?
No. No. It's hard work.
It looks like we've got one here and then one there.
Looking back, how did your work with Washtenaw Literacy, objectively now, what was it that helped you personally? What was it that clicked with you so that you learned to read?
Well, there was a combination of a couple of things. One, actually, the motivation behind it, like this one lady was talking about, my tutor gave me something to read that I wanted to read. And that played a really big part. And at the time in my life, I wanted this information so bad that I was willing to just push myself. And then everything started to make sense, but my tutor actually taught me the word families, you know, the STs and the INGs and the phonics of reading. And I started breaking the words up like that. Like I take pieces of words and then put it all together. And when that started to happen, I realized I just read a word. And the light bulb go off. Then, you know, then it become addiction. Now I wanna I want more. And I kept pushing myself to learn more. So yeah, I was motivated and the literature I was reading was something I really wanted. If that literature wasn't there, I don't know if I would have, you know, stuck with it. I probably would have got bored and went in another direction.
I was just going to add that now I work with geriatric population, and pretty much, I guess, 70 to 102, one of my clients. And it's fascinating to watch how the brain does begin to age and how, you know, how thinking changes. And we all know, I mean, the classic thing that everybody is aware of is beginning to forget names, maybe in your 60s or so, occasionally, and that stress really makes a tremendous difference in our mental capacities. But, you know, I keep coming back to the whole idea of each of us being individual and our lives unfolding. I mean, I have, you know, in my experience, some people hold on to their mental capacities really long and some don't. And there's not... Even with my medical training, there's not real rhyme and reason to it. So you just work with what's there in the present and keep it up. I mean, I think I would like to become involved because I think it's a new stimulation and a new direction for my own brain as I age. Because, you know, I put my pedal to the metal and was an honor student in nursing school in my 50s, and I loved it. It was very stimulating. It was a lot more stimulating and interesting than sitting and watching a lot of TV, you know, or whatever, you know, different things people, you get in a rut. But really continuing to use your mind is really exciting. Does the Family Learning Institute work with older people? I'm just curious about.
No, it's strictly working with children in the public schools from the second grade through the fifth. But fortunately, there are all these other lovely programs for other age groups.
We definitely have a place for you. We can get you involved. Are there any other questions or thoughts? You got to talk into the mic, though, so we can hear you.
I'm talking to that guy.
Go right for it.
Like, what does it feel have to have dyslexia? Like, what does it mean to have different words jumbled in your head?
What do it feel like? Oh, it's very frustrating. It's a very frustrating thing. For a long time, I thought I was the only one. I didn't think anybody saw what I saw. I thought I was very unique. Then I found out I wasn't, you know. A lot of people suffer from this, what I have. That made it a little easier. But I don't know, I'm a very highly motivated person. I always have been. So I guess if I wasn't, I could have been on the pity pot and say, woe is me, and let life pass me by. That's not the route I took. So I guess I just overcame it, you know. Just overcame it. It's I'm not in fear anymore. I don't feel ashamed. It's a part of who I was, a part of who I am today, and I'm okay with it.
One more question here, it looks like.
The gentleman from Jordan, when you are speaking to Americans, what's generally the response you get if they have trouble understanding you? Are they patient, or are they impatient, or understanding? Or how do they react to your English at this stage?
Actually, most of them, if I get the, they ask me to repeat the question or to repeat what I said. But most of them now mention that they are fine to understand me. So. I didn't find any problem, but I feel that I need more improvement. I need to learn more in order to catch up with the native, to speak just like the native speakers. So, you know, my English is that good, but it can help me to survive.
Thanks. Looks like another question here.
From the one of the, what was your name? I'm sorry.
Tariq.
What?
Tariq.
Tariq. Okay. Tariq, so when you got into the lottery program to get into the United States, how did you find a job? Did you get family's help, or like how? Just curious, like friends.
Actually, I'm looking for a job on the internet. I'm applying. I'm professional in managing projects. So, that's what I do. I do it in many cities in my country. So I travel a lot to the different places. So when I move here, I think there are a lot of projects here. There's a lot of need for that project. I found that on the internet, a lot of company asking for a project coordinator, project expert, or project managers to do that, to do an IT project, actually. So there's a job here. But still, I need to improve to communicate. My job need a lot of communication, so I miss this part. It's a hard part for me. It's not related to the knowledge or skills. I have the knowledge or skills, but the communication, that's what I missed now.
Tariq, the best, your name's Tariq, right?
Tariq.
The best advice that I'm giving you to practice your English or to prove your English or to help yourself, make a friend with American student if you are a student at the university, make a friend and make a practice for your English to speak to them. And then a little bit, don't communicate for people from Jordan, give a break a couple months, then you will see improvement.
Well, I hope so. I don't have any friend here yet. I have friends in Canada, so I communicate in Canada and Australia, but not in the United States. I hope. I didn't also have any relative here. So it's the worst. It's
to stand help you because they will speak Arabic. So you need a little bit to slow down and
stuff. So actually, I didn't speak to anybody here. So I spent most of my time in home or in the library. So I'm moving sometimes to places that I get it from the internet. If I find some a place that I provide or need a help, so I go there. I apply for a lot of I apply for school to be a volunteer there, but most of them I apply also think to be a volunteer. I ask them to work without any fees, but most of them I don't know what's going on. Nothing except my application. So I know that it's tough to get a job here, but in this time. But I hope that this case will be solved in the future, in the soon future. I hope to know a lot of people, so I try to make friends, but still it's hard to me I don't know how to make friends here, so.
Do we have any more questions? All right, well, thank you, everyone, for coming, and thank you very much to our panelists.